Thank you, Beth, for that musical treat as we start the first service of a new calendar year. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Melinda Gustafson-Gervasi. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic, religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. A few minutes in the service, we'll invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you a bit better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our minister, Reverend Sandra Ingram. Today, we'll be doing a bit of a hybrid and having our multiple members come up and share an answer to a responsive question. There were no announcements on the podium today.
There was one.
There is one. Rose, I didn't see anything up here.
Oh.
Ah, we'll get that, and I think we have a small group today, so it'll go quickly. Here we go. Okay, it looks like Rose Smith is going to be doing some things. We're changing in the pennies for peace jar and writing a check. So if you have something to donate, do that soon, please. Is that okay? Great. All right, sorry for that little glitch. And at this point, we would like to welcome any guests and visitors. If you are here for the first or second time or haven't attended in a while, we invite you to introduce yourself and say what brought you here today if you'd like to do so. I think Penny has the microphone. Is there anyone here today who'd like to share? Okay. Sure, you don't have to. If not, welcome. Our opening words today. A single conversation across the table with a wise man is better than 10 years merely of studying books. Henry Wordsworth Longfellow. Please turn to our first hymn, number 259, and I will add that when you come to Prairie, you always learn something new, as I did today when Penny wanted me to put in here. We are not behind times on this. The reason we are reading We Three Kings is that it is the day of the three kings, or what's known as the 12th day of Christmas. So. I did not know that before this morning. Please stand as you are able.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And now we'd like to welcome Rebecca, Raju, and their children for the chalice reading.
Breath of the divine, light a flame of reflection in all that we do. Breath of creation, light a flame of connection in our circle of care. Breath of wonder, light a flame of inspiration to cultivate participation. Breath of fear, light a flame of courage to be who we are, sentient, vulnerable, and diverse. Breath of this moment, light a flame of celebration, for our future unfolds the covenant of this day.
Thank you. As a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys, sorrows, or personal concerns with our prairie friends. I believe Penny has the microphone, and I will start with a joy. Many of you know that my mom has been struggling with a lot of health issues and other things. Well, this past Thursday, she celebrated her 70th birthday, so we're very happy for that.
Well, the song reminded me that I was a sorrow that we were not able to present our wonderful Christmas play by our youth 2 weeks ago because we got snowed out. But I am joyful that I did not reschedule it for today as we first tried to do, because this might not have been the best day either. So I think we'll have to save everything, including the camel, for next year.
Well, we had all the family home for Christmas. And Robin's girlfriend joined us, and then they announced to us that she's pregnant. So we are going to be grandparents for the first time.
Karen had a sledding accident right after Christmas and had a very painful back, but she is now off of her opiates and is starting to get better.
I mourn the passing of Mary Lou Muntz. Obituary is in today's paper. There will be a memorial service for Mary Lou in April sometime, they say, in the spring. Back in history of Prairie, Mary Lou and Ray were members of Prairie. Mary Lou was a woman in the legislature, 1972 or 73, somewhere in there, served for 12 years, I believe, Secretary of the Department of, State Department. A wonderful woman to have known.
Well, we have a future joy. This end of this week, our three daughters are going to be together here, one from Oregon, state of Oregon, one from Baltimore, and one from Illinois, and we hope that the weather clears up so they can come. But we won't be coming to Prairie because, as you many of you know, these three girls have widely divergent religious views which do not correspond to ours.
You know, it helps the mic people if you hold up your hands while the people are talking.
I just wanted to comment that my good news is that I've been shoveling snow for 2 weeks, which is good news because I had knee surgery 4 weeks ago.
I will light one final candle for any joys or sorrows that remain unspoken. All right, at this time, we will take a moment for some silent meditation. All right, well, at this time, we're going to be doing one of our hybrid do-it-yourself services here at Prairie that I think we're known for. I think we're going to adjust the microphones here, and the idea is for people to line up, and just as we did for sort of the symbol tree, I believe we'll line up on this side. It's my right, your left, I believe, Penny. And we want to answer the question, what three people would you like to have dinner with, and why? So do know that we are not going to be broadcasting this or recording it on the web, so feel free to talk knowing that you're talking to the people here in the room. And, you know, just briefly, whatever that might mean to you, but there might be more people, so we'll make sure everyone has a chance to talk. So, problem?
Well, I can't find the mic stand, so you have to pass the mic on to the next person.
I can help with that. So, so if you have an... question.
Do you want us to share all three at once, or do you want to do one at a time to make sure everybody has time?
Why? I think we'll have plenty of time today. We didn't have a children's story. Things are going really rapidly.
If you want to maybe aim with, you want to look at the clock like 3 to 5 minutes, engage how many people might...
There's not...
If everyone were, I'm not sure if everyone wants to speak. So a minute or so, and gauge it on how, if you can say one person or if you'd like to spend more on one. So do people want to line up?
Do we have to?
Do you have to? This is Prairie, no. I mean, I can help walk around with the mic if people are more comfortable with that. And I see a hand up, so. For those, maybe we'll start with those who don't want to stand up, and those who do can maybe go over there afterwards.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I would love to have a chat with President Obama. Guess why? But I think it would be fun to talk with him about his mother. And second one is, if John Muir were still alive, I would love to have a dinner with him, because we visited his boyhood home in Scotland. And of course, we share his environmental views and activities. Let's see, who is the next one? Ah, Mozart. Because we love his music.
Oh, sure. Okay, that's it.
I was thinking about this and thought about famous people and stuff, and I thought, no, you know, the person I'd really like to talk to is my great, great grandfather, who was one of the 1848ers coming over, and I thought, no, wait a second. I want to talk to his wife. I want to know what she said when he came home and said, they're coming to arrest me and we have to leave tonight with our 5-year-old child.
From where?
From Germany, from Berlin. They were in Berlin. He was a middle class, well-known, supplied oil to the theaters for the oil lamps, was his job. So I kind of know his story, but I have no idea what she thought of the whole thing. So as I thought about it, I thought, no, not him. Let's talk to her.
Hey, who was my great, what was his name?
His name was Julius, his name was Henry Woese. And I would have to look up to see what her name was. Isn't that funny? No, not famous at all. No, just an ordinary middle-class guy.
I thought of two people. One is Eleanor Roosevelt. I've always been fascinated by her because my grandfather actually got to meet her one time. And then reading her biography, she seemed such a complex woman, to be a woman who was sort of reticent to be in the limelight, but from a well-to-do family, and then to be thrown in the limelight and then making so much out of her position that she didn't want to be in, but that she made the most of it. It would be interesting to find out more about what her feelings were. And the other person, I don't know why I thought of this, but Sweden has a queen. And I was going to look up this morning to see what country she was actually born in. She's German. Okay, thank you. And so Queen Sylvia, Drottning Sylvia, came from Germany, married the king of Sweden, who took his exams in the gymnasium the same year as my cohorts did in Sweden, the year after I was there. And so she's around our age, my age, and I'm sort of curious, what would it have been, I would want to know, what was it like to go to this other country? And she had to learn Swedish just like I did. She speaks quite well. And what is it like to be royalty in a democracy where they don't really treat you like a royalty, but you're expected to be royalty nonetheless? There is a difference. And I'd be very curious about that.
One of mine was Mother Doan, sort of on the order of Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, I see a lot of similarities between her time and ours in the deep divide of rich and poor, and how she managed to motivate people. I mean, the mother title, I think, came naturally. I think she actually thought of all those miners as her boys. She was titled the most dangerous woman in the country at the time, and she had a funeral in downstate Illinois at a miner's graveyard, and people lined up for miles to see her. And I'd have to ask, you know, how did you do it? You know, where? How did you motivate people to get behind you and everything? Another one I thought of. I'm going fictional this time. I want to talk to Ishmael. I don't not Ishmael from the Bible, but Ishmael of. No. Ishmael was an ape who kind of learned to mind meld, and kind of from an ape perspective looked at the human race and what our situation is, and I would love to experience the mind meld thing to begin with. And just to get his take on where we are and how dire some things can be. And finally, Ishmael is the name of the book. Yeah. And excuse me, what's his name? No, just Ishmael. Ishmael is the name of the book. I can't think of his name. Oh, Douglas Adams is sticking in my brain, but that's not it at all. Yeah. Yes, Quinn. Thank you. Yeah. And finally, I would like to go into the future and speak to the person. This is reminded because of the way I felt when I got up this morning. I want to speak to the person who finally cures the common cold. I figure either he or she is going to be extremely rich or a really great philanthropist who gave away their discovery. I don't know, but I just want to know what took them so long.
The three people I'd like to sit down with are television personas. One of them is Doris Kearns Goodwin, the author, whom I find absolutely charming, and I've read her book on Lyndon Johnson and the one about the Eleanor and Franklin during the war years and the Circle of Rivals about Lincoln. And apparently Lyndon Johnson was so impressed with her that he asked her to come down to Texas when he was retired to write his biography. Then I also have a yen for Hedrick Smith. Any of you remember him? Mm-hmm. Who used to be on Washington Week. And I read his book on the Russians and the Italians. And he was followed in Russia one time by a KGB person on a very hot day, all day long, as he went into bookstores and so on. And finally, at the end of the day, he bought two ice cream cones and gave one to the KGB guy who was following him. He's a sweet guy. And then he had a terrific program on revealing Wall Street banks and the takeover of these Wall Street banks. Anyway, like him. Then I like Bill Moyers, and I'd like to sit down with him and sort of kick around religious ideas with, he's a sort of an open-hearted Baptist, but I think it'd be a good conversation.
By way of context, I went to a Quaker school as a boy, And in the sixth grade, there was a play about William Penn. And my line was, "We fur traders owe a great deal to the governor." I delivered it just as beautifully. And I went from that school to a high school that stressed math and science. So that's the context of all of this. One of the people I'd like to have dinner with is a fellow named Roger Haydock, from whom I'm descended. And he was one of the early Quakers. He basically was a religious zealot at the time when the Quakers were very evangelical and interrupted meetings of religious organizations they didn't approve of. He actually was a friend of William Penn.
Oh, wow.
And so I'd like to have him tell me about William Penn, and I'll tell him about what's happened to the family since. Then the other two are a Scottish fellow who lived from the mid-1500s to the early 1600s named John Napier. Anybody here?
I've heard of him.
You vaguely remember the name. You did, right. John Napier did something which really impressed me when I was in high school, because I know that if I were left on a desert island for 20 or 30 years, I would have never come up with logarithms. He figured out logarithms. I want to find out what he was thinking at the time. How did he get there? Another fellow, the fourth, after me at the dinner, would be a physician named Peter Mark Roget. And he did a couple of interesting things. Some of us will remember from our school days, before there were computers, slide rules. He took the concept of logarithms and is generally credited with being the first person to develop a usable log slide rule. I think that would be of interest to John Napier. And again, I would really like to find out how it was he put all these notations in a book into the thought of this physical object. Roget didn't go to sleep after he did that. He is the Roget who compiled Roget's thesaurus as well.
Well, after doing a couple of years of genealogy, I found that my dad's grandparents seemed like they must have lived a very, probably, I could say extraordinary life, but I think their lives were like everybody else in northern Bavaria at the time. But they were the ones that picked up and moved to the United States, which back then I just can't imagine leaving your town, your little town, all your friends and relatives and going off. And they probably knew that there was a good possibility they would never be back and never see these people again. But before they moved to the United States, some of their other relatives had moved to northern Illinois they were from Mosbach, Germany. So these people from Mosbach, Germany moved to northern Illinois, and they started a little town, and they called it Mosbach.
I've been there.
Oh, you have? Well, a lot of my relatives, my ancestors, are buried in this Mosbach Cemetery. So I've been there, and there's not much left of this little town, but it's close to Galena, Illinois. But in doing my research, I found a distant relative who had my great-grandmother's a religious book, you know, missal, or I don't know what they call it, a prayer book, I guess. But she had written in this book little short paragraphs, and one was about how painful it was to be out in Oklahoma. She had never seen any of her people again. And that, I think that she died around 1908, I think. And she's buried in a cemetery outside of Enid, Oklahoma. But I can imagine, when I was in my 20s, I moved to Boston for a short time and I got so homesick. It makes me think of myself and how, even though I wasn't crazy about Oklahoma, my roots are there. And I still think of it as home. I hardly lived there, in 50 years. Anyway, and I think the other person I'd like to have lunch with would be the first guy that broke open an oyster shell and thought, boy, that slimy bite sure looks good. I want to know how desperately hungry he was. Or was it on a dare or what?
She's hard to follow. I had this glorious opportunity when I was a kid, and I'm going to take all three people and have them around the same dinner table. When I was young, I was in a family. My mother's last name is Calvin. And they had carried the tradition of their ancestor John with them, and so I really don't want to interview any of my family members. But I have always been very interested in cosmology because my father was a physicist and all of his friends were researchers, and I was raised in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, surrounded by people who my junior great books tutor in the evenings had a Nobel Prize. And these people would gather after the Baptist celebrations on Sunday morning, and we would have these incredible lunches. And my mother would serve roast beef and potatoes and carrots that she had been, cooking for 2 days. And these scientists would come in around our large dinner table, and we'd watch the snow outside. And I would sit under the table after the kids finished eating, because I wasn't about to go play with toys when these people were talking about such incredibly interesting things. And it was always about cosmology and research. And unfortunately, in the mid-60s, it was, oh my God, we've found mercury in the water table. And, I learned a lot from being a bug on the wall. But I'd like to do that in a larger sense with my three people. I would like to have Einstein, and who's the guy in the wheelchair with ALS? Thank you, Stephen Hawking. I have a terrible time with names, you guys. Hawking, and I'd like to have Sagan, Carl Sagan, who worked with my dad at JPL. And I'd like to bring these people. My mother worked for the Rocketeer from Germany. Von Braun, right. She was his secretary. And I don't think I want to really talk to him, because I think I kind of knew where he was at. But I don't know where Hawking is. He's got such an interesting journey. I'd like to hear more about it. And I'd like him to be talking to Einstein and Carl Sagan about cosmology. Because the thing I always bugged my dad with when I was a little kid, and he kept saying, Beth, there's nothing there. Would you just shush, I wanted to know what was outside the universe. And I kept saying, but Dad, it can't be possible. There's got to be something outside. And he would say, no, there isn't. There was a big bang, and that was it. And I'm like, nope, there had to be something before the bang. And now I'm seeing all sorts of cosmologists talking about what happened before. So maybe it's just a question of my generation, and it wasn't a question for his generation. But I would like these guys to talk about cosmology and what the nature of the basic thing in the universe is and how we resulted from it.
Golly. There are so many people I admire, but I don't think I would want to have a conversation with them because I would feel that I wouldn't be able to hold my own, like Virginia Woolf or Bertrand Russell or all these groundbreaking women like Clara Barton and Florence Nightingale. So I think I'll sit back and admire their accomplishments. I'm more, my choices, and they could be different tomorrow, but my choices now are more family oriented. So my grandmother, who came over on a boat in the early 1900s from Poland, you regret not knowing the stories of people that you knew as a child when you just didn't have the curiosity, or I didn't, you know, the curiosity or trying to figure out how people fit into the world or how they fit into your world. But all I knew about her, she didn't want to get married. She was pressured into marriage around age 30, had six kids, Roman Catholic. I would like to hear her story. And also, I want to talk to the Polish ancestor who was responsible for switching from Judaism to Roman Catholicism, because I found out that my Roman, staunch Roman Catholic family has it goes back to Jewish origins. I would like, on my mother's side, they did a little genealogy and a great, I forget how far long ago, traveled west with a slave, and I wanted to talk to that slave and find out what that person's story was. This was, I think, in the 1860s, so it would be shortly before. You know, things were very volatile then. And then I guess I'm interested in the stories that we never hear or that we just have a paucity or no information about, you know, what their lives were. So everyday lives, that kind of thing, that really interests me. So I guess a woman from maybe the Sioux Nation or somebody in, you know, one of the Western tribes that were able to hold on or keep their autonomy for a little longer, you know, for one reason or another after the white invasion. So those are my choices today.
Okay, well, Beth stole one of mine. Yeah. So, but I'm gonna use them anyway. There's two people that I would want to have a conversation with at the same time, like Beth was talking about, and that's Carl Sagan, who's dead, unfortunately, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, who isn't. And they both share this incredible fascination and love with the universe and the world and how everything works and how everything fits together and how we fit into that. And I think it would just be amazing to listen to those two guys talk to each other and maybe get a word in edgewise.
Can I come to dinner?
Yeah, you can come. So, and then I've been going back and forth and back and forth on who my third one is. And I think I would like to talk to one of the members of the Pre-Raphaelites. And I don't know if it's William Morris or Jane Morris, his wife, who was probably much more interesting than we know, or Christina Rossetti, who's Dante Gabriel Rossetti's sister, or him. He was quite the character, but I don't think he would want to talk to me. So, but I'd love to talk to somebody from that circle and kind of find out what was going on with them and their viewpoints and how they changed the face of art at that point, because they really did. They sent it in a whole new direction. So those are my three.
My selection is perhaps a little less weighty in terms of their contributions to humanity than others. But I would love to have dinner with Stan Laurel, Oliver Hardy, and Hal Roach. Laurel and Hardy, in my opinion, of course, were the greatest comic team of all time. And Hal Roach was the director and producer of most, not all, of their films. So it was a wonderful working relationship. And I think it would be fascinating to just sit down and talk with them and find out more about their working relationship and the development of their films, which I know a little bit about, but I'd like to hear it from them. But it was very fascinating. Laurel and Hardy, in addition to being working together for many years, were also great friends. And they maintained a great friendship for many years, even though they were very different. Laurel was sort of the genius behind what they did. He wrote the scripts, he edited, he came up with all the ideas, and Hardy basically loved to play golf, and all he did. And so Roach had the genius to just recognize their genius and Laurel's genius and encourage it and make the movies. And so they were wonderful, and it would be fascinating to have dinner with them. And I guess if I had a second choice, I would take what I think is the second greatest comic team of all time, which would be the Marx Brothers, Groucho, Chico, and Harpo. Harpo, of course, never talked in his films, but he talked a lot in real life, which you may or may not know. So that's my selection.
I'd like to add Richard Feynman's name to these scientists who are great storytellers. And I'd like to know more about his escapades at Los Alamos of climbing. Well, I can't remember which direction he would go under the fence. I think he'd go under the fence and then check in, but he hadn't left, or was the other way around, through security. The second is, of course, Steve Allen. I'd love to have a conversation with him about all the people that he had conversations with on that wonderful television program that this is a copy of. And then third is a small group. My parents, my maternal grandparents, and my paternal grandparents, so that I could get them together and ask them all of the questions that I've thought of asking them since they died.
Well, continuing on the family theme, I would like to have a meal with, as a group, both of my grandfathers, neither of whom I met. They both died before I was born. And my father's father was he was an iceman in Philadelphia, and he had a cart with a wagon. I mean, it was a wagon, ice wagon with a horse, and he drove through Philadelphia in the 20s and 30s and early 40s before he died, delivering ice to people. And we have a framed kind of a sepia-toned picture of him that my dad had and sent to all of us in the family, and so I have that in my house. And I'd also like to speak to my mother's father, who I may have spoken about before here. He was a finder and seller of rare books, and he went house door to door and found rare books from people and eventually sold them, and two of his books ended up in the library that he bought ended up in the Library of Congress, so he got some money for those. But they're one group. And then I'd like to talk to Bill Nye, because he is a very interesting guy. He's a scientist, but not in the heavy duty sense of all the other people who were mentioned before who were also on my list. But you know, I like that he's standing up to some of these people who are just, you know, spreading ignorance. And he's planning to debate some creation scientist somewhere. So keep an eye out for that. And the third, I think, would be, I'd really like to talk to Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley, because Frankenstein, you know, so.
Thank you. I'm reminded of applying for a principal's job in Chicago. I think I was already a principal somewhere else, but anyway. And one of the questions that I was asked by this committee, who are your heroes? And I said, I don't have any heroes. And before I left the subject completely, why I said, well, I admire Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. very much. I didn't get the job. The person that I would like to be able to talk with, if he'd talk with me, is my grandfather, whose name was Charles St. Clair. And too many of you probably heard this story already, but I'll tell it one more time. Unfortunately for you, maybe more than once, but anyway, one more time. My great-grandmother took in boarders, some of whom each were either medical students or law students generally. And Charles St. Clair was a law student. He got the boarding lady's daughter pregnant. That's my grandmother. He did marry her. My mother was born, and he immediately divorced my grandmother. And this was in 1904, and he started paying my grandmother $25 a month, which was a fair amount of money, I think, in 1904. And he continued sending her a check for $25 every month until she died. I think she was in her 70s. At one time, my father, after he had married my mother, went to my grandfather's law office and said to my grandfather that he had married my grandfather's daughter, and my grandfather denied that he had any such daughter. And at the same time, he was still sending the $25 every month. You can see the subject of my conversation. I'm interested to see, might be interested to see, as I had said last week, whether he was bald and some other things about physical characteristics. He might not talk to me because he didn't. I assume his name was St. Clair, which I have conjured up to think that maybe the original St. Clair came in 1066 when the Normans invaded the English or Great Britain Island, got to Ireland, and with 20 generations of marrying Irish lasses, why there were probably nothing, there was nothing left of the French St. Clair except for the name. Anyway, he was Irish. I am assuming that he was probably Irish Catholic. I would bet that he got married with a Protestant ceremony to my grandmother, which after he got divorced, why he wasn't legally married according to the Catholic Church anyway. So he probably had no reason to talk about it with anybody. I assume that there may be a number of my cousins in the Chicago area who would be totally amazed to know that I exist. anyway. If he wouldn't talk to me, why, I'd still be interested. And if I got to bring two other people, why, a couple of my kids would be interested also.
Well, on the family side, I would definitely want to talk to all my grandparents because I was very young when they died and I didn't really know them, and they'd all be well over 100 years old. So I would definitely want to do that. I want to just, you know, go back exactly 100 generations of my direct, yeah, why not, of my direct descendants and talk to the people there, you know, good times in ancient Egypt, you know, so. Because I would definitely be interested in talking to family. And also, you know, I know somebody else brought up the future before, and I would definitely want to have conversations with people in the future. In terms of the well-known names, I definitely would want to talk to Gene Roddenberry, big Star Trek fan. and I also want to talk to, you know, not just the good guys like Abe Lincoln. I would like to talk to Abe Lincoln, but also Hitler. You know, see what was going on in their head, just sit down and have a conversation, what were the intentions, that type of thing. You're disapproving, but hey, you know, that's truthful. I wouldn't want to just talk to the people I admire and have done virtuous things. I would also want to talk to people who have made a huge impact on history that, you know, were kind of the demons, so.
I just want to point out that we are scheduled to shift at 11, so if you have something to say, you might want to stand in line so those behind can be gauged in.
Okay. On a family theme, like Barb said about your relatives, that it's like often you'll know the stories of some of the men but not know the stories of the women. My great-grandmother, through my father's side, she actually lived in Enid, Oklahoma, and she raised like 12 children in a sod house, and I would love to find out what her life was like. I met her when she was extremely old. She lived to be 101 years old, but she was one tough cookie, and I would really love to find out more about her life. Another person is an author that I actually just read very recently. Her name is Jeanette Walls, and she wrote a book called The Glass Castle. Jeanette became either an actress or an artist, and she had a very interesting and complicated family that was kind of nuts. And then as an older adult, for her to try to figure out how to make peace with her family and had to be able to take care of them in a way that they were okay with and that she was okay with, because they were really pretty odd. And along with Sonia, I came up with Gene Roddenberry because the thing that I love the most about Star Trek is that they covered a lot of really progressive issues, and that they pushed the boundaries in a lot of their stories. And that, I guess, sitting at the table with Gene Roddenberry, I'd also like to have George Takei, who has kind of become an internet phenomenon and is always posting funny stuff every day that I really enjoy.
I'm glad to hear Gene Roddenberry mentioned, because one of the people I would like to talk to is a different science fiction writer, Robert J. Sawyer, particularly because of two trilogies he wrote, Neanderthal Parallax, WWW trilogy. He does a good job of using science fiction to look at the human condition and where we are and where we might have been or might go. I also am glad to hear someone mention Neil deGrasse Tyson, since we'll be talking about him this afternoon at the Humanist Union meeting. I would like to talk with Bertrand Russell to find out what the public reaction was at the time of publication of Why I Am Not a Christian. And I'd also like to talk with one or more of the authors of the report which came out last month, the Free Thought Report put out by the International Humanist and Ethical Union, which looks at the conditions of free thought in every country on the planet. What happens to you in certain countries if you are identified as an atheist or something like that.
Well, I guess I'd like to have a whole series of dinner parties, but one would be to, it's a strictly a family matter. I'd like my grandson, who's a recently graduated doctor and quite a thinker, and I'd like to have him present with my grandfather, whom he never met, who was a self-educated man, never finished high school, but was very wise and read widely. And while I'm at it, I think I'd like his grandfather, my grandfather's grandfather, to come, because I don't know anything about him.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of different thoughts and themes. If I could have such dinners. Actually, I'd like to have conversations, bring a bunch of people together. So I'm not going to talk about the communities one with the Scottish guy who did some interesting, innovative things in the early part of the 1900s and went to India and went to Spain and came back and influences planning, or Stephen and Ida Mae Gaskin from the farm, and get them together and just see what they think. Or the author of Seth Speaks and a couple other ones like that. No, that's not what I'd do if I get one shot. If I had one shot, I'd put together three couples: Bill and Melinda Gates, Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, and you know who's coming next? Bill and Hillary Clinton. Put them together and ask them why they're doing what they're doing and now, how they, and what's important. Because these are all people who had many opportunities, went to the pinnacle of whatever they were doing, and then decided to start foundations at a later point. And if I got to invite somebody else, I'd probably invite the Obamas too, because here, let them think about what they're going to do next.
I've never been much interested in genealogy myself, but I'm blessed with a brother who loves it and has traced our heritage back to the first boatload of Puritans that arrived in the United States. However, after he told me that, he doesn't just stop with that, he investigates. And he said that the wife of the man and wife who came over, has the distinction of being the first woman tried in the United States for heresy by the Puritans because she refused to acknowledge the authority of men. So, other than that, I don't know who I really want to talk to, other than maybe a couple of my old girlfriends. With that, I'll pass.
I thought about all these dinner parties that you people would like to have, and it occurs to me that I find that the most interesting conversations are one-on-one. So I don't want to get a whole bunch of people together and have them trying to jockey for who gets to say what. You know, that it can be annoying to me. I just was at a dinner party where I thought, would you let this woman speak, please? You know, because she kept getting cut off, you know. So I think I would like to have a one-on-one conversation with my father, who died when I was 5, and so I don't know him at all. But from the reports from my older, much older siblings and my mother, I don't think he was really such a great guy. But I would like to form my own opinion of him and to have a conversation and ask him what his childhood was like, why he drank, and what he thought of his family and being a father, et cetera, and why he maybe has some explanations that he could offer that would explain why he was kind of a jerk. But I don't know how I would tactfully say, why do you think you were kind of a jerk? I'd have to be very tactful about that, but I think it would be certainly an interesting one-on-one conversation.
My first thought was to get Martin Luther King and Gandhi and Mandela together and talk to them about their motivation, how they came to be who they were. But especially, I'd like to talk to Mandela about how he went from being a resistant, fighting young person to being such a remarkable peacemaker, because well before all of that stuff came to pass, I was wondering whether they're going to have a very violent civil war. Yeah. And it never happened. Yeah. And I'd like to know what his thinking was, his self-talk that brought him to that point, and how he managed to convey that to people.
So I'll just take 60 seconds and share mine. I would go with Claude Monet, because he's probably the one person who could allow us to have this dinner at Giverny, his garden in France, which is probably one of the most beautiful places I can think of. Second would be Tina Fey, sort of a contemporary of mine in age, because she is guaranteed to make me laugh. I'll also be curious to hear her thoughts about parenting and working and just kind of the contemporary life. And then the final would be my father, who died in 2009. My son was 13 months old, and he never met my daughter. And my dad had struggled with depression and alcoholism his whole life, and didn't have a whole lot of joy. And I see the things my kids do, and I know it would make him laugh. So with that, I think we're ready to move on to a different type of sharing, the offertory. So thank you, everyone. Oh, we have time for discussion, Penny tells me. So this is probably, anyone have thoughts, comments, anything they want to share? And Penny, can you just, so I can watch the clock, what time frame do we have for that? About 5 minutes. If anyone has anything they want to share, hand up. Everyone shared out? Okay. Actually not.
I just realized, you have to get up, I suppose. Some of you know about my brother, not my real brother, but the Jewish young man who came out of the concentration camp and stayed with us for a couple of years. And then we lost touch when we both came to the States, and as happens sometimes in difficult times of living. And then Dolita, my dear friend Dolita, whom most of you know, managed to connect us after 60 years of not seeing each other. And we had one meeting, and the last I saw him was in New York City, and that's where his family was, the family he found. And he wound up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And on my first visit, of course, it was like meeting him yesterday, and we talked and talked. But the one thing we didn't get to was all the things that he did in those years between when I saw him and then 5 years later he was dead. And when I was going to visit him again, and he was in a wheelchair. He had been with Guillain-Barré syndrome for 20 years. And so I couldn't do this last visit because he was already dead. And I would just love to have a chance to talk about his changing times from New York and singing as sort of a middle range roles at the Met, at the Metropolitan Opera. And then he became totally changed and became a specialist and scientist in metallurgy, okay. And that part I never knew, and of course, so that's what I would like to find out. But as many of you people who don't live, you just can't find out. Okay, thank you for the time.
Thank you, everyone. And as a fairly new member of Prairie, I would just like to offer for the discussion point that I really did enjoy this. It's very different from our other types of services, but I've learned things. There's someone here who mentioned a book that I'm going to ask again for the title of that I'd like to read. And I didn't know that Eileen had spent time in Sweden, and I actually studied Swedish at a point in my life. So it's just a nice way to, I think, further the connection or the fabric of us as a congregation to get to know people on a more personal level. So thank you for sharing. At this time, we're supposed to shift over to the offertory. Okay, the ushers will pass the baskets.
I'm hoping that this time I don't have such a dry voice that I can't sing. So we'll see. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me.
Thank you. And then there was a slight oversight on the type of the service today. We will be doing a final hymn. It's number 102. So I'll give everyone a minute there. 102, We the Heirs of Many Ages. Please stand as you are able. She's going to play it through one time to give us an idea, and then we can start.
We are the heirs of many ages.
Closing words. If I were invited to a dinner party with my characters, I wouldn't show up. Dr. Seuss. He's one of my favorites. So thank you everyone for coming to Prairie today. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you and join us for coffee and conversation outside. Thank you.